Good morning and welcome to Thrive Church. Man, we believe that you are part of our Thrive tribe. You're part of our community. You're part of our church. And we are just so glad that you're here. We'd love to ask you to do us a favor. If you enjoy today's service, if you will, take time to rate it, leave a review. We would just, it just mean the world to us. We'd love to have your feedback. We'd also love to give you an opportunity to give. You can go to our church website, thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. We'd love to have you partner with us and believe in what God can do in and through the ministry here at Thrive Church. So without further ado, let's jump right into today's message. Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited that you're here today. Man, I'm excited to be in the Shallow series. Man, I just thank God for our worship team. I think they did an amazing job. They always just do a spectacular job in leading us in worship. Man, we're super excited about Liz's song, Shallow. She actually wrote that for this message series, and we just pray that it blessed you, that it ministered to you. I know that we're just super proud of what she and the worship team have done. So we're actually in our fourth week now of Shallows. I actually had when I planned this message out, kind of planned on it ending last week. And man, the Lord just prompted us to go scuba diving. So last week we looked at some stuff. But I just kind of want to recap some stuff that led into that. So if this is the first week you're watching, it's not totally foreign that some of the things we may mention or allude to. I hate it when I watch a movie and it's like a sequel and there's stuff that I should have known from the first one and I have to pause it and get everybody else to catch me up. We definitely don't want to do that with the things of God. We want to make sure that you're up to speed with what God's wanting to do. One of the other things that we want to encourage you to do is go download the YouVersion Bible app. It has tons of resources, like every version of the Bible that you can imagine. We do a lot of our community groups based off of YouVersion and their reading plans. You'll hear more about that towards the end of our service. But also, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can go to the bottom right-hand corner, regardless of your platform. There will be three bars. You can click on those three bars and then go under events, and you can actually pull up all of my message content, all the scriptures, giving links, church website links. Everything that you need to interact with our church can be found by using the YouVersion Bible app, going to the bottom three bars in the bottom right-hand corner and clicking on events, and every week my message notes will be there. So without further ado, let's jump into a little bit of a recap. So week one, I brought a clear jar up. It was actually a rose vase, and we dropped ping pong balls in it. We said this. We said that, man, from the time you were born until whatever stage of life you're in, that people have dropped different content. They've dropped different labels, and they've said things that you kind of took into the inner part of who you are, and it helped shape how you view yourself and how you view the world around you. And what we said was this, and we believe that this is just a truth out of the Bible, that as you pour living water, which is the Word of God, it's the presence of God, it's community of believers, it's worship, it's prayer, it's all those things, that as you begin to pour that water in, it'll actually rise up inside of you, because you are a vessel, just like that rose vase was a vessel, and you're full of stuff that people have dropped into your life. But the more you pour God into your life, the more it begins to displace those ping pong balls. Just attending church probably isn't going to change your life a ton. But if you do it consistently, if you read your Bible consistently, if you pray consistently, over time it will displace those labels. It'll displace those things. And sooner or later, you'll begin to overflow with the presence and the things of God. And they'll flow out of your life into the lives of other people. Then what we said in week two was we used the cake box analogy. And we said this, that if you want a cake, you can read the back of a cake box. And please don't bake a cake off of what I'm about to tell you. Please read the box if you're going to make one. I love Duncan Hines yellow cake with chocolate icing. It's a favorite of mine. Matter of fact, I had some over Thanksgiving, and I just love it. So, but in order to make it out of the box, you pour the mix in, and it says crack two eggs, and then it'll tell you to put in a little bit of water and a little bit of oil and bake at a certain temperature for a certain length of time. And what we said was this, that you could go and you could read the back of the box. But if you didn't actually apply it, if it says, you know, pour contents of package into a bowl, but you never did that, you really didn't get anything out of it. If it said put two eggs in, then you didn't, then you really didn't get it. You know, if you don't follow the instructions, you don't get the desired result. If you don't follow the instructions, you'll never make a cake. Well, here's what we said. You can read the Bible, but if you don't apply the Bible, then you're really not going to get anywhere. The application is really the heart of going deeper with God, because we're talking about shallows. We're talking about coming out of the light things of God and going into the deeper things. So if you just read the Bible, or you just do a little bit of God, you're not going to see a ton of life change. But as you apply it, man, God can really change your life. Then last week, we went into a personal favorite of mine. We went into scuba diving. And so I brought my scuba rig up here. And the first thing we started with was the mask. And we said this, that in order, before you can put any of this gear on, especially if it was underwater, man, you needed a mask. You needed a vision for what God wanted to do in your life and where God was trying to take you. And people all the time tell me, well, Pastor, I don't really know the beginning of that. And we told them this. We said, we want you to go home. We want you to dream in 3D. We want you to write what would God really want out of your devotional time to him, out of your faith journey. What does prayer look like? What is all those, you know, worship, word? What does prayer and thanksgiving look like? What do all these things look like? We said, man, if you can get a vision for it, if you can get a 3D vision of what your children should look like and what your grandchildren should look like and what your career should look like, if you can get a real vision for that through your mask, then the next thing you can do is you can look at your tank. We know that air is made up of three things. It's made up of nitrogen, oxygen, and some trace other elements. And we think this, that the thing that fills your spiritual tank is three things, that it's the word, it's worship, it's prayer and thanksgiving. Word, worship, prayer, and thanksgiving. So if you can begin to apply those to your life and you take them in every day, inside this tank is a finite amount of air. What inside of you is a resource of what you've poured into it of God. And you can only take out of a tank what you put into it. So it's really important that you watch how much you're taking in versus what you're putting out. It'll keep you spiritually healthy. It'll let you dive deep. So once you get a vision for the things of God, and once you begin to pour those things into your life, what we said was this, is these are called fins. And fins help you swim through the water and actually dive down and move around. And we believe this. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ, meaning this, that once you get a 3D vision for your life and once you really begin to apply the word and you've got worship and you've got prayer, you've got a vision for where you're going, man. You've got to work every day to get to it. Nobody's going to read your Bible for you. Nobody's going to pray for you. Nobody's going to worship for you. Nobody's going to thank God for the gifts that he's given you for you. That's something you have to do yourself. And man, you've got to use those fins to really drive towards those marks. So that kind of gets you caught up. So that's like a 5-minute roll in for everything you've missed. So now let's start taking a look, because I'm passionate about God, but I'm passionate about scuba diving too. Not the same passion, but passionate nonetheless. And one of the first rules of scuba diving is this: you never dive alone. Why? Because bad things happen and we all need help. Well, when I begin to look about and think about kicking with those fins, it took me to this place where I felt like we needed to make sure that everybody knows is that, especially in this season, because we're kind of in this in and out with COVID, and we're in and out with Thanksgiving, and now Christmas is coming, and so there are all these things going on and changes and presidential changes and all this, and it's real easy to lose that 3D focus and forget to kick, to use your fins to get deep with the things of God. And what we said is this, is that in that process, man, you don't have to go it alone. As a matter of fact, God says it's not good for man to be alone, that you weren't designed, you weren't created to do life by yourself. It's so hard. That's one of the reasons, if you're on our online community, it's one of the reasons we say, hey, be sure to log in and chat with one of our hosts. Why? Because you're not meant to experience life by yourself. Talk online, chit-chat, even though it's not verbal talk. When I preach this message, the folks in-house will say amen, or they'll say that's good, or they'll say ouch, or they'll say, you know, you stink, get off stage. No, I hope they don't say that. But there will be feedback through this service. Sometimes I can look and somebody will be on the edge of their seat, and you can feel that. And when I say something funny, hopefully they laugh. Sometimes they don't, but hopefully they laugh. So as I go through this stuff, we're experiencing this service, and I look over during services, and people will actually, you'll see them make comments to each other about something that I've said. I've had people, oh, that's good, or wow, that hit me, or whatever. And I watch them interact with each other and me and with God. And so there's all this interaction going. And I think the thing of it is it's easy if you're watching this on a screen, especially you're listening to it on a podcast, it's easy to think that you're doing this alone. But God said, you know what, it's not good that man's alone. So we're going to encourage you, man, to interact in our online platform. If you don't know how to do that, you can go to our church website, thrivechurchonline.com, and you'll see online service. So at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern time, you can interact. But if you're in-house, man, you're not built to do life alone. As a matter of fact, Genesis 2:18, now God is talking about Adam in this, and he says this, and then God said, it's not good that man shall be alone. and I'll make a fit helper for him. Now, we know that when God wrote this, he was talking about Eve, but I think that there's a big spiritual concept here that would be real easy for you to miss, and that's this. It's not good for you to be alone. I think man there means mankind. When you put it outside of the context of Adam and Eve, one, I believe it's not good for man to be alone, but I believe it's not good for a woman to be alone. So if it's not good for either one of them to be alone because God made them to fit together, then this, it's not good for you to be alone. So if the only way you take in this content, and we thank God for it, we think it's a viable way to do it, is online, then we want to encourage you to do this. Come in and communicate with people. Realize that you need a dive buddy, that it's not safe for you to dive alone. Why? Because something can happen that's over your head that you're not equipped to handle, and you're going to have to lean on your dive buddy to make that work. Now, you can't walk your faith out alone. We've kind of established that. And God said that it's not good to be alone. But here's the thing. If you decide that you're going to get a dive buddy in your life, that you're going to do faith with somebody, whether it's people online, I'm going to give you another way at the end of service that you can actually expand that, because you may go, man, I don't know anybody in church. We're going to give you a way to connect with people so that you can get a dive buddy that can help you. But one of the things is this. Remember when we had the vision, we said in talking about the mask, get a vision for where you're trying to go. Well, here's the thing. When you and your dive buddy are together, you have to, together, both of you, keep the vision, that 3D vision for where God's trying to take you. Because remember, we're in a shallow series. We're talking about going deep. And if you're going to get a dive buddy, the idea is that you're going to go deep together. That the idea is to go deep together. When I first started scuba diving, I dove a lot with a guy who attends our church. He's actually on our board of directors. Now, but his name is TC, and TC and I dive together. Now, TC is half polar bear. When I first started diving, we didn't do a ton of ocean dive. We did a ton of quarry dive. We still do quite a bit of quarry diving. But so we would go to this quarry, Lake Quarry, and the thing about lakes is they're notoriously cold. It can be 100 degrees outside, and the water is maybe 60 or 70 at the surface, and then you go through what's called a thermocline. So if you've ever looked through the vapor of gasoline, it kind of distorts what you're looking at. Was you scuba dive, and you get near a thermocline, and you're looking down through it, you can actually see it. It looks like gas. And you can put your hand down inside that thermocline and you can feel a 10, 20, 30 degree shift in the temperature of the water. So I can be in 70 and put my hand down into this 40, 50, 60 degree water, and man, it'll make you shiver. Well, the guy that I dove with, TC, he is notorious for diving down into this really cold water. So I'll be up here at 20 or 30 degrees and I'm chilling. And as we would first start diving together, what I would do is this, is I would be worried about watching my air, making sure I didn't run out of air, and making sure that I was going right through the water and that my tank wasn't falling off, that I had all my gear, and that I was basically that I was just surviving. And what I would do is I would get behind him because he was my dive buddy. I would get behind him and a little above him and let him get a little in front of me, and I would just watch him through the whole dive. Now on our dive gauge, there's actually a compass, and so what we would do is we would get a 3D vision of where we're going. So we'd say, hey, we're going to go down to a bus, or we're going to go to an airplane that had been sunk underwater or a platform and work on some of our skills. And so what it was, TC would begin to look at his compass and he's navigating towards the thing. And all I'm trying to do is not drown. I'm just trying to survive and kick and do. And you know what? When you start your faith journey, you have to have somebody that you can follow so that you don't get messed up trying to do your dive. And if we don't keep our mind on where we're going, we can get hurt. So if TC had just said, you know what, I'm just going to think about it this way. If we were both novice divers, neither one of us knew what we were doing, how would that dive look? One, we'd never get to our dive site, and we would probably both get hurt. You don't want to choose a dive buddy for your Christian faith walk who's a novice. But let's say you partner with Jacques Cousteau, one of the world's best scuba divers, or was, and man, you're going to follow him. Here's the thing. It would be real easy to get hung up in Jacques Cousteau's other stories and his other dives that he's done and the other conservation stuff that he worked on and biological studies and all that. There's so much to that you might forget your dive. Well, here's the thing. If you're going to get a dive buddy, you and your dive buddy, one, you can't both be novices. That's a bad idea. But two, you also have to have that, keep that 3D dive in mind. You have to keep that wreck site and dive that you're trying to get deep to. So in your life, you may say, you know what? Right now, I'm a novice diver. I'm just trying to pray, read my Bible, prayer and thanksgiving, and I'm trying to learn how to worship. And man, it's all I can do to keep those together. Man, there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you need to partner with somebody who's competent and confident in what they're doing, and that they can help you get to the dive site. Because what would happen is I would follow TC down, and all of a sudden, this wreck or this dive site would appear. And I'm like, holy wow, where did this come from? And it came from the fact that I was following somebody who was my dive buddy, who knew what they were going to do. And it's just so important that you partner with somebody who is mature and who knows what they're doing. As a matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said this, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Another version says this, "You follow me as I follow God." So if you put this into a dive analogy of going deep, TC was in one set of gear, and he was going to the wreck, and he knew what he was doing, and all I was trying to do was the basics. I was trying to pray. I was trying to worship. I was trying to give thanksgiving. I was trying to be in the Word. And all of us, but I could imitate what he was doing because he was imitating what he had already been trained on and what he had already experienced and what God had already shown him. That's the way your faith journey needs to be. Never taking your eyes off the vision that God has, but you can't do it by yourself. You have to partner up with somebody else. As a matter of fact, it says this, and this comes from last week, is that if you're going to dive deep, you can't forget that 3D vision that God's given you. Proverbs 29:18, this is a recap from last week, said, "Where there's no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." Man, it's so important that as you get a dive buddy, as you get somebody to do faith with you, and maybe it's not just somebody, maybe it's four or five people, maybe it's a community group, and we're going to touch on those in just a second. But as you dive through this stuff, man, it's important that you remember that you can't do this alone. God didn't design you for it. Because here's the thing, dive buddies also share in each other's issues, man. So if something goes wrong with my tanker regulator, there's one regulator here that I would normally breathe out of. So if you imagine my head here, I'm breathing off of this one. But if my dive buddy gets in trouble, I can actually give him that one and I can start breathing off this second regulator. Because every diver is equipped not only to take care of himself, but to take care of his buddy. Matter of fact, Scripture says it this way, Galatians 6:2. "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." If you want to see God really move in your life, what you've got to do is you've got to get a dive buddy. And this doesn't mean you fix their problems. It just means that if they've got something to pray about, you pray with them. If you're reading something, read it with them. If they're reading something, you read it with them. If they're thanking God, you find stuff that you can thank God about. In other words, you can imitate their dive to figure your dive out, as long as that person is mature and following Christ. And you're able to bear each other's burdens. So you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a decision as a church. We're going to bind together. We're going to get dive buddies. We're going to get groups. We're going to get communities. And we're going to go on this deep dive. And we're going to get deep in the things of the Lord. But one of the other things that I never dive without is a, it's going to be a little hard for me to do here with a mic in my hand, but I never dive without a dive knife. Most of the time, I dive with two cutting devices on my body at all times. But at the minimum, I won't dive without a dive knife. And people go, well, that's crazy. Well, not really. Because most of the time what I do is I dive ocean wreck sites. It's my favorite thing to do. One's because the water is warm and I hate being cold. And two, they're just a lot of fun because there's a lot of fish and a lot of history and a lot of stuff that just really intrigues me. But the problem is when I dive down, there are all these fish and there are sharks and there's all this aquatic life. And not only do scuba divers like to dive those sites, but fishing charters and fishing boats love to fish those sites because the same thing that I want to look at, they want to catch and eat. But because they're wrecks, a lot of times those fishing lures get hung up. And the string, the fishing line, the monofilament that those people fish on, they'll just cut their lines and leave it because they're hung up. And I can't really blame them. But here's the thing. If you dive without a knife, you could actually get tangled up in that stuff and not be able to cut yourself out and be free. Well, here's the truth of God, that if you don't dive with the Word of God in your life, then you can get tangled up to a place that you can't get out of it. Now you're going, well, Pastor, you keep talking about the Word of God. It's because it's so important. I have to keep talking about it until you do it. It's that important. I would never dive without a knife, but I would never leave my bed without first taking in the Word of God. Matter of fact, Scripture says this in Ephesians 6:17. Ephesians 6, chapter 17. And it said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All a sword is a big version of a knife. I don't think I'm doing any injustice to Scripture if I said, you know what, and never go on your spiritual journey. Well, what is your spiritual journey? Man, your spiritual journey is your life. Life is your spiritual journey. Never go on your journey of life without taking the Word of God with you. As a matter of fact, it's funny how the Word of God will actually get you untangled from messes. So I sit there and I'm like, man, you know what? I always get in trouble with my mouth. Well, the Word of God says, you know what? A man who can't control his tongue is like a man who owns a ship but can't control the rudder. Isn't it funny how that one little piece of the boat is so important? And God goes on and he talks about, you know, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out, man, what we talk about. Revelation says this, we overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Man, I've got to learn to control my mouth. So as I begin to take that sword and cut myself out of my habits and cut myself out of my way of thinking. And Jesus said this, he said, turn the other cheek. It's an analogy I've used all through this. Man, when I begin to see the ways that I don't turn the other cheek. As a matter of fact, I went into a particular hardware store the other day, and we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and I was getting some stuff ready for some stuff that was going on in my home, and I got the world's rudest cashier. I won't tell you where it was at, but it sounds like Om Epo, and I got the world's worst cashier, and man, he just kept smarting off to me, he kept being rude to me, and he kept all this stuff, and finally, my wife looked at me and she said, are you okay? And I said, I'm choosing to be. Do you know why? Because I took the Word of God and said, you know what? I'm cutting myself free from my sarcasm and from my, you know, repaying evil with evil and right. And I just cut myself free from that. It's funny how the Word of God can just get us so out of our tangles. So not only do you have to have a dive buddy, but man, you've got to take that Word with you every day to cut you out of the messes that you get in your dive. Well, what does your dive look like? Your dive looks like your life. Every day is a new journey. Every day is a new opportunity. Man, even in this humglum world, man, every day is a new opportunity for you to learn, for you to grow, and for God to show you something new that He's trying to do. Well, the way you're going to cut yourself out of that old stuff, that old way of life, is by using the Word of God, man. It's so important. Don't start a dive. Don't go to work without it. Don't go to your family without it. Don't do Christmas without it. Don't do a birthday without it. Don't get your coffee without it. Man, it's so important because God's Word will not only get you out of the messes you're in, but man, God's Word will cut you out of messes you don't even know you're tangled in. You know, the funny thing about monofilament, about fishing line is that you're all tangled up in it before you realize it. You know what? For me, sin and problems and issues that rise up in my life happen before I even realize it. Man, I'm sure your life's the same way, where you cut yourself out with the Word of God. Now, as we get ready to close, the last thing I want to show you, one of my favorite devices, is this right here. This is my BCD. It's a buoyancy compensating device. And basically what happens is I'm just showing you, I'm inflating it and I'm deflating it. And I can inflate it. And actually there are a bunch of places, there are a couple of places on my particular rig that I can pull and it'll let air out and it'll inflate it. So if you're listening to this on a podcast, a BCD is a buoyancy compensating device. It's basically like a life jacket, but it doesn't always float. I can take all the air out of it and it'll make me go down, or I can put air in it and it'll lift me up in the water. And what it's designed to do is to compensate for either being negatively buoyant, which is you're sinking, or being positively buoyant. So if I'm negative, I can put air in it and I'll begin to rise. If I'm sinking too fast, I can just put a little air in it and it'll bring me up. Or if I'm not going down quick enough and I've got a little bit of air in there, I can let it out and it'll cause me to sink. But either way, a BCD helps you overcome a deficiency, either to make you positively buoyant or negatively buoyant. But either way you're going, whether you're going up or down, it's to overcome a deficiency. People do this all the time in their faith. They think more of themselves than they should, and they begin to rise above people and look down on them. And man, that's such a bad habit. So as you go deep in the Lord's going to show you all kinds of stuff. You're going to cut yourself out from all kinds of sin and all kinds of problems. And if you're not real careful, you'll start thinking more of yourself and puffing up with pride in what God has done in your life. Not worshiping God, but you're beginning to look down on other people. And maybe you're following a dive buddy and they just always seem to get it right and you always seem to get it wrong. And now you become negatively buoyant. You're always looking up at them like they're something bigger than what they are. And but regardless of whether you're puffed up or and have a way too positive of an image of yourself, or you're negative and you're way too down on yourself, either way, it's a deficiency that God wants to correct. And here's what Romans 12, 3 through 4 says. Romans 12, 3 through 4. For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you. So Paul's talking, he said, look, by the grace God gave me, I just need to talk to everybody. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought, but think with sober judgment. Paul said this, he said, look, he said, if God starts taking you deep, realize that it's God. And if God gives you something to look up to that you can admire and pull qualities out of and emulate, that's still God. So don't think more of yourself when God's doing some great work, but don't think less of yourself because you haven't got it all figured out. You've got to dive your dive. He goes on and he says this. He said, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned, for as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. Well, here's the thing. God said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain and be it removed. It doesn't take very much faith. But God said this. He said, the faith that I've given you for what? Does like God love some people more than others, so he gives them more faith? Absolutely not. What Paul's saying in this is he said this. God gave you the faith that it takes to dive your dive. Don't try to dive somebody else's dive. You have to dive your dive. You have to live your life, but you have to live it to the fullness and the 3D vision, and then let God exceed that 3D vision that He being God has given you for your life. Not comparing you to somebody else, not diving somebody else's dive. Matter of fact, you remember earlier I was talking about diving with TC. Well, I dive with another gentleman, and his name's Robin. Robin's a great guy. Him and TC are both polar bears. And you remember when we were talking about that thermocline, and I said it looked like gas, and you could kind of see through it, and you could feel the difference. Well, what happens is when I dive with them, especially later in the year, and it's a little cooler, I will be diving somewhere between 20 and 25 feet where the water temperature is somewhere between 50 and 70 degrees. Hopefully for me, it's somewhere between 60 and 80. Doesn't always work out that way. But I will start out and I'll have a dive buddy on my right and I'll have a dive buddy on my left. Well, the next thing you know, those guys are moving deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and they'll get 20 or 30 feet below me. And all of a sudden, I'll see them kind of come up neutral in the water, and they'll start looking to the right or left, and they're trying to find me, and they'll look up, and I'm up here above the thermocline. I'm up here where the water's a little warmer because that's where I enjoy my dive the most. And I'll look down, and I'll just wave at them, and I'll tell them to go on, and I'll just follow. I'll follow you, and I'll keep my eyes on you because I'm not going that deep because I hate to be cold. When we get done with our dive, and I'll talk about this more next week, but we hit a thing called a surface interval. So usually when you dive two dives, three dives, or four dives, or however many dives you want to do. But between each dive, there's a surface interval where your body's letting go of some built-up nitrogen and all this stuff. But that's generally where guys grab a sandwich, they get some potato chips, and they talk about their dive. Now here's the thing. I'm not trying to talk about what it's like to dive at 50 feet. I'm talking about what it's like to dive at 25. Their dive's not better or worse than mine. It was just different. This is where God made me to be comfortable. God, they're comfortable at 40 degree water. And polar bears are swimming by these guys. Penguins are swimming by these guys. And they're enjoying it. I would not enjoy that. I just don't feel like that's where the Lord wants me to live. So here's the thing. We can be at two different planes. We can be at two different levels with God. But both of us are deep. Your deep may not be somebody else's deep. When I first got saved, I was in a church and it had pews, and I decided that me going deep with God was going to be to lift my hands in worship to the Lord. And so I had my hands on the back of the seat, and man, I just, inside of me, I can't even tell you what song we were singing, but I just felt like the Lord was telling me to surrender and lift my hands to Him. And I never will forget, so I had my hand on the back of the pew, and I lifted my hand up like 3 inches off the pew. And then I put it back down real quick, and I thought, whew, man, I've done something for the Lord. And then I was like, man, I'm going to stretch this thing on out. And then I came up about halfway and I'm like, whoo, the whole, you know, whole church is looking at me. And then I, you know, made 3/4 of the way and then finally made it. Now I don't even think about it. But at the time, man, that seemed so deep. See, you can't judge your faith off of somebody else's experience. You have to dive your dive. You have to be where you're at. Man, at one time this was deep. I do that every Sunday morning, and that's not deep anymore. I used to think, man, if I could just ever get to the place where I read my Bible every day, whoo, that'd be deep. Now it's a byproduct. I don't even think about it. So my deep keeps getting deeper. Your deep keeps getting deeper, but you can't judge your 20 feet like you're not underwater going deep. Because your 20 will turn into 25, which will turn into 30, which will turn into 50, which will turn into... And the next thing you know, man, you're hitting the maximum that God has designed for your life. And that's where we want to get to. We don't need to look around and compare ourselves to our dive buddy. And we don't need to... We just need to take our knife, cut ourselves out of the traps, get a dive buddy, and just go as deep as we can and enjoy the dive. So if I'm you, here's the question that I'm asking. I'm going, well, Pastor, how do I do that? You know, maybe I'm just an online person. And I hate that term. I'm just an online person. No, if you're an online person, you're one of our people. We count it just like you're sitting in one of these seats. To one of these people, man, you're not just an attender. You're part of our church. To somebody who watches or maybe listens to this just on a podcast, you're not just a podcast listener. We count you as part of our church. That's why we give you an opportunity every week to give. That's why we give an altar call. That's why we, because you know what? We are one body serving one God, but we have different functions. If God wanted you close enough to attend, he wouldn't have you living in the state you're living in. But he made a way for you to be a part of us. You know what? Well, I'm not there because of health reasons. That's okay. God made a way for you to be a part of us. You're still part of us. So I'm gonna give you an opportunity. First of all, how do you get a dive buddy? If you don't know somebody more mature than you in the faith that you feel like you can really connect with, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you to email me at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. 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 I just want to make sure you get it. Because what we want to do is we're going to take one of our leaders and we're going to assign you to them. And we're going to put you in a group. We call them community groups. You'll be in a group with two people to 10 or 15 people, and we're going to get you to do a daily devotional. You're going to talk about it online. You'll do some Zoom meetings. There'll just be some stuff. They're going to walk you through every step of it, but they're going to become your dive buddy. These people are seasoned in the faith, and they know how to lead you and how to make sure that you get to the deep points with God, and they're going to begin to disciple you, is what we call it. But in this series, man, the best way to think of it is they're going to become your dive buddy. You can do this from any state, any place, as long as you've got an internet connection. We can hook you up. If you don't have an internet connection, but you've got a phone, you email us what you've got, and we'll find a way to minister to you. But we just believe this, that in this dive series, man, that you've got to get a 3D vision, that you've got to begin to take worship and word and thanksgiving and prayer and fill your tank up with it. We believe that you can't compensate for where you're at. You just have to dive deep, and you've got to cut yourself free, and you've got to use your fins and dive towards that mark, that 3D vision that God's given for your life. But God doesn't want you to do it alone, and we're going to connect you with somebody that can do that. So Dave, you're watching, man. I just want to encourage you, or you're here in-house. We just want to give you an opportunity that if you say, you know what, I've got to get my life right with God before I can start this dive, before I can go deep with other people, I've got to be right with God. Because if I'm not right with God, how can I ever dive deep enough to reach him? If you're watching, man, and you've never given your life to Christ, or you're here in-house, will you just slip your hand up? If you're watching online, there's going to be a box, and you can just click it, and it'll say, hey, I raised my hand. You can't raise a physical hand and us see it, but you can click a button. Nobody's going to know who you are. We just want you to pray this prayer out loud with us, no matter where you are. Will you please repeat this prayer? If you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you're like, Pastor, I've got to get right with God. Will you just take this opportunity right now? If you're driving in your car, if you're watching this online, or you're here in-house, will you just repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. Jesus, I believe that you really lived, that you really died. I believe that you really rose again. And I believe that you're coming back to get your church. And I believe today, and I ask today, that you save me from my sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We believe that if you prayed that prayer according to Romans, it says that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. That if you prayed that prayer right now, you're right with God. But that's the first step. Now you need to get a dive buddy. We want you to email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We want to assign you a dive buddy. We want to get you hooked up in one of our community groups, and we want to see you dive deep in the things of God. Man, we just ask that you continue to reflect on the series, that you continue to deepen your faith walk, and we know that God's going to do amazing things in and through you. We can't wait to see you next week. God bless you. Let's pray as we're dismissed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. God, I ask that you hide these words in our heart. God, that you develop us, that you grow us, that you mature us into people that dive deep in the things of God. God, bring us out of the shallows and into the deeper place with God. Now, Father, I ask that you watch over every listener, that you protect them, that you lead them, that you convict them, that you guide them, that you comfort them, that you encourage them. And God, let this church be a light in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us today, man. We hope today's message has blessed you. Know that our prayers are with you. We thank you again for joining us, and we can't wait to see you again next week. God bless you. Have an amazing week.